Good morning. We are going to show you a data management plan template for archaeology. This presentation is going to last for about 20 minutes. After that, there will be a 10-minute time slot for discussion. We are three speakers and we will talk about 5 minutes each. The three of us are information scientists and research engineers working with archaeological data. I work for the National Center for Scientific Research at the House for Social Sciences at Nanterre University. Emmanuel Brias works at the Preventive Archaeology Research National Institute in Paris. And Emmanuel Morlock, who will be the last speaker, also works for the National Center for Scientific Research in a research unit in Lyon called ISOMA. So what is a data management plan? The European Commission defines it as a key element of good data management. A DMP describes the data management life cycle for the data to be collected, processed, and or generated by a H2020 project. As part of making research data findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable, a DMP should include information on the handling of research data during and after the end of the project, what data will be collected, processed, and/or generated, which methodology and standards will be applied, whether data will be shared or made open access, and how data will be curated and preserved, including after the end of the project. So we can say data management plan is a document that describes the way you're going to manage the data and data sets related to a project. It is an adjustable roadmap. DMPs are often required by research funding agency, and they also tackle the FAIR data issues to make sure research data are findable and can be reused. Some funding agencies have published their own data management plan template, such as the European Commission, the British Digital Curation Centre, or the French National Agency for Research, ANR, last year. Several funding agencies, such as the European Commission and the ANR, recommend the use of disciplinary standards, formats, or repositories. As members of the French Memory of Archaeologists and Archaeological Sites Consortium, whose aim is to experiment and define good practices for archaeology, we have decided to work on a disciplinary template. At first, we have worked on a template developed by Emmanuel Brias and Camille Collin at the National Institute for French Preventive Archaeology. The three of us have committed ourselves to creating a template that would be suitable for most projects dealing with archaeological data. After having discussed the template structure, we have decided to use an online open source platform called DMP Oppidor, which is hosted by the French Institute for Scientific Information. For 2 years, we have presented our work in progress at workshops where the participants who were scholars, PhD students, information scientists or IT specialists, but also archivists, were able to test and comment the template, which contributed to its continuous improvement. Now we are going to show you how to create a data management plan from the MESA template with the French data management tool DMP Oppidor, which is accessible at dmp.oppidor.fr. First of all, you will have to connect to the DMP Oppidor platform. If you work at a French university or a French research institution, you can use the institutional access to sign in. Otherwise, you can create an account. In the DMP Oppidor dashboard, you click on the DMP templates here, and then you search for MESA in the search box. Then you will have to click on the plus button here to create your own DMP. As you can see on this slide, the MESA template in DMP Opidoor requires you to fill in several tabs. The first one is called Project Details. Then you will have to fill in information about the research outputs. The Selected Template tab gives you information about the template you have chosen. Then the Context tab enables you to give information about the project's context and about the archaeological operations related to the project. The Data Management tab requires you to detail, for instance, who is responsible for the management of the data. The Data Overview tab, which is badly translated here, can give you generic information about the whole project data. The Dataset tab can be repeated to describe each dataset. And at the end of the project tab describes such issues as the archival policy and the dissemination process. So you will have to fill in first the project details tab. I draw your attention to the fact that when you create a DMP, a mock project checkbox enables you to create a mock DMP. It can be useful if you wish to test the MESA DMP to practice or to organize training sessions. You can also select up to 6 organization recommendations to guide you to write your DMP. For this presentation, we have chosen to use a real research project whose metadata are available on the Archaeological Data Service website. This project is entitled The Evolution of Rome's Maritime Facade. Its main objective was to understand the evolution of the Laurentian coastline and the ways in which the natural and built environments associated with it interacted during the Roman period. The project investigators are Amanda Claridge and Helen Randall. The data was produced from 1984 to 2009. Helen first wrote the project title, then the project abstract. As you can notice, the fields marked with an asterisk are mandatory. And when you hover the pointer over a field, you will see a tooltip message with a short description. Helen will then give information about the project investigator and the data contact person, who can be the same as a project investigator. In this example, the data contact person is called Richard Linden.
So good morning to everyone. So the plan is created. We will now quickly look at how to file the different tabs of the DMP, focusing on a few topics that seems important to us. I'm sorry, j'ai pas la main. Okay. In the context tab, Helen then describes the context of the project. It is also in this tab that you will find the history of the document, its creation date, version number, author, etc. Next, please. It doesn't work. Helen and Amanda briefly describe the project using keywords from controlled vocabularies. They use vocabularies developed and maintained by the Forum on Information Standards in the field of heritage, the archaeological object thesaurus, the monument types and event type thesauri. Next, please. Helen quickly describes the excavation campaign from which the primary data used during the project came. Date of the excavation campaign, name of the excavation scientific manager, geographical coordinates of the operation. This section should only be completed if the research project is closely linked to one or more archaeological operations, publication of sites, GIS, field databases, etc. Let's have a look now on the research output tab. The next, please. The data produced and used in this project were organized into 8 data sets. A research output in DMP-OPDOR corresponds to a data set. Hélène then should create 8 research outputs for each data set using the button Add a Research Output here on the screen. She must specify the nature of the data that make up each data set. If a data set contains data of different natures, text, images, she must choose the type collection. You can see the last. Then, in each tab will appear as many sub-tabs as research outputs have been created. Here, you can see 2 sub-tabs, artifact and geomorpho. For each section, if the information field is common to all the research outputs, it is possible to check the box "This section answer are common to all research outputs." You can see it. Yeah. We will have a look on the data management tab now. In the data management tab, Hélène can state who is responsible for the data. It is who will have to manage the data collected, processed, and analyzed. And she can specify, for example, the data quality manager identity, which are Lyndon from the University of London here, but it could also be the identity of the person in charge of the metadata or of the data preservation or everything around the data. Next, please. The data overview tabs allows you to describe the whole data corpus, the way it was created, its organization, the volume of data, and the legal framework for their exploitation, reuse, and preservation. At the beginning of their project, Hélène and Amanda have developed a classification tree to organize their files as they are produced. They have used this tree to identify the data set. We have already seen that when we talk about the research outputs. We will now have a look at the dataset tab that allows to characterize each dataset. In the dataset tab, Hélène must describe each dataset, the way they were produced, formatted, but also additional details about their storage and availability during the project. Datasets consisting of data produced by other projects should also be briefly described. They are called in the template reused datasets. And now let's have a focus on the associated metadata section. Hélène and Amanda will need to describe the metadata associated with their data in order to ensure their preservation. They use the ADS collection level metadata for describe the entire corpus and the ADS file level metadata for describe each file. Hélène and Amanda must indicate which indexing system they use to describe the data. Here, they use the vocabularies developed and maintained by the Forum on Information Standards in the field of heritage. For each question, Hélène and Amanda can find help in the right column, the guidance tab, which we will get the answer. And there is some time under the question an example answer. In order to allow reuse of data, Richard, the quality manager, describes here the processes aiming to guarantee their integrity and traceability. And now, as the dataset tab has been completed, let's see what Amanda and Hélène can document for what happens after the project.
Yes. Hello. At the end of a research project, At the end of a research project, the 2 final steps in the life cycle of research data are archiving on one side and dissemination on the other side. These 2 steps are complementary. Archiving targets the long term and dissemination is for publication and immediate reuse. It's worth noting that DMPs are sometimes called data management and sharing plans. And more funders require that the data is opened with explicit licensing, allowing free reuse, or that not accessible data are justified. So both archiving and dissemination need anticipation and strategy. For example, it can be wise to identify which users your data would be of value to and address their needs. And data centers can also require specific quality standards that need to be taken into account from the beginning. So you can see on that screen the corresponding section in the MASAT DMP form. One is for describing the archiving policy. The other one considering dissemination matters. There are 9 questions altogether in these sections, but let's have now a look at them and see an example for each section. Please, next. Thank you. The 4 questions end at describing the archiving policy referred to the duration of the data retention or conservation, the size of the final data set, arrangement for data conservation, and terms and conditions for data access. The screenshot illustrates the 4th question on data access. As the archiving platform is ADS, and as there are no specific license for these data sets, the applicable license is the ADS one. So Helen and Amanda can just mention that license with a link to the web page where these terms and conditions are defined, but they also could have copied it here. In the dissemination section, the 5 questions refer to policy, possible embargo periods, publication resulting from the use of the datasets, or reuse potential. On that side, the screenshot illustrates how Helen and Amanda got a very precise idea of the target audience for the different datasets of the Rome Maritime Facade project. Mainly the local archaeological services, archaeologists, specialists in topography, or historians in ancient history. As you can see, they decided to answer the question globally, but they could also have answered the question at the dataset level, as we saw in another section. Now, the first tour of this example DMP is over. Of course, other iteration will be required to complement and refine the answers. But using an online collaborative tool like Oppidor will significantly facilitate these updating iteration. It's also important to be able to update the information as the project evolves and to produce the several versions of the DMP the funders ask for. For example, in the course of the project funded by the European Commission or a national funding agency like the ANR in France, there would be at least 2 or 3 versions of the DMP to deliver. How to link a data deposit to the DMP document? This example DMP was created from a data already available in a repository, but in a real-life project, the dataset would be deposited long after the DMP was created. So, as you can see on that screenshot, the Oppidor form contains a dedicated field in the Research Output tab. To link the two, don't forget then to copy back in the DMP the persistent identifier that was assigned by the repository. Now, Helen and Amanda might want to print a plan to proofread it or share it with other colleagues for review. So there are 2 tabs for that in the Oppidor form. And for example, to prepare downloading, there is a configuration screen where the user can select the parts she wants to download and choose a format. The available options are HTML, PDF, and DocX. The share page will enable the user to give access to other person to the DMP inside Oppido, but it's really straightforward and we won't show that to you. So now it's time for wrap up. During this presentation, we gave you a quick overview of the MASA data management plan template. First, Nathalie introduced the concepts of data management planning and data management plans. She also explained how we created this template within the frame of the MASA consortium. The template has been tested several times, but we really intend to continue to improve it. Emmanuel, that you can see online, showed us how to fill out the form and answer the questions using an existing data set as an example. And finally, I presented the section of the form dedicated to the post-project life, centered on archiving and dissemination for reuse and scrutiny. I also quickly showed how to download, share, and where to copy the persistent identifier of the corresponding deposited data sets. We tried to show you how practical and simple it could be to write a DMP with the MASA template and hope you will connect to Oppido soon and have a go at it. So we would be delighted to get your feedback so we can improve the template and make it more useful. To get in touch with us, you can use the dedicated mailing list or our personal emails. So now we will be ready to answer your questions. And a big thank you for every team that helped us in this endeavor.